The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We the People Radio. You are listening to KCNR 1460 Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media. You are listening to We the People Radio. Our hosts Aaron and Elizabeth and our great engineer Bob welcome you. Join us. Give us a call at 605-4567 or stream live. Chat, do whatever you want. Find out about our guests today. Find out about all of our past shows by going to We the People Radio.us. We have a great media page there that has all of our shows archived, upcoming guests, everything you need to know about our sponsors. Not anything about Aaron and Elizabeth, but that's okay because it's not about us.
No, it's about we the people.
Wow, we didn't even practice.
We did not plan that. So good morning, everybody.
And you know, we want to differentiate are we the people from the president's new survey. You're supposed to go to We the People and create an initiative or something. And if you get over like 5,000 signatures, the White House will take a look at it.
Oh, nice.
I'm sure they're just sitting there going, God, I hope the Tea Party people do some of the surveys because we'd be really interested to know what they're doing.
Yeah. Is that a little tricky way of getting a heads up on the inside scoop before things get out in the airwaves?
I saw that. I was like, what do you mean they're calling it We the People?
Yeah, that's our show.
Can we hog that up already?
How come they didn't ask us?
Maybe we can sue the White House for copyright infringement.
There you go.
I'm sure the Department of Justice will get right on it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right after they stop suing, you know, Arizona and some other states.
Yeah, they're too busy trying to shut down the freedom of the country.
Yeah. So, wow, we're bitter this morning. I am, anyway. God. How about everybody else?
You know, I got to tell you.
Not as bitter as my coffee.
Yeah.
You're in charge of the coffee, so.
You know,
that's the problem.
It's kind of tough sometimes to pick up the newspaper. It really is. I mean, I know it's really important.
I don't even pick it up, and I'm bitter.
Yeah.
I called my mom the other day, and I was so, well, it was like two nights ago, and I had just come from the office, and I was so irritated when I called her. I was just like, and do you know what they did? And they passed this stupid SB 48, which we're going to talk about today, by the way.
Yes.
And they're giving, you know, college education to illegal aliens and da da da.
You know,
it's like,
and we went
sorry,
to
Mom.
We went to the town hall this week with our own illustrious congressman, Mr. Wally Herger, and it was interesting. A group of nursing students stood up, and one of the little gals was their spokesperson, and she was talking about the fact that in this nursing program, which is extremely arduous, you have no choice but to devote yourself full time to your studies because they are so difficult. Plus, there is a pretty hefty time requirement of working at the hospital for free. No time for a job. So they really count on either personal loans or student loans to get them through this course. And it takes 2 to 3 years of being on a waiting list to even get into the nursing program. So here you've got a group of students that are in their last semester, literally 12 weeks away from graduating, and they cannot get any funding to see them through the last quarter. And you can't take a semester off, go to work, raise some money to continue your education and come back. If you drop out of the program, you are out for good.
Mm-hmm.
This young lady was in tears. They don't know what they're going to do.
Well, we have people all the time. The senator just read a letter from a constituent on the floor. He works, you know, his wife works. They've got kids in college, and they're not looking for free money.
No.
They just need, you know, a student loan to tie them over. She's already working part-time, you know, and going to school, but they're not sure that they can keep her in college.
God, that's so sad.
And then I have another constituent who called. He was, I called them because they wrote a letter, but furious that their daughter is at Santa Rosa Junior College, and she's being taught Marxism in her English class. I was like, what?
And they're paying for that.
Not in her English class. It was something about agrarianism and all this other stuff. And he wrote the whole, I don't have it with me.
You've got to pull him out of the public universities and get
into. He was just furious. Yeah. He goes, oh my gosh, this is costing us a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Between the prisoners being dumped into our system starting October 1st and the illegal aliens getting college aid, financial aid.
And don't forget we're rewriting our college textbooks. We'll talk about that with Brad today.
Oh, yay.
I mean, it just goes on. And, you know, I want to let folks know that if you follow the show on a fairly regular basis, you heard John Menke, our Siskiyou County resident. Mm-hmm. Well, there are lots of scientists up there, but he is really a great source of information about what's going on in that Klamath River Basin with dam removal and the, you know, the fake coho salmon endangered mm-hmm. species thing and all this other stuff. So anyway, as all that stuff is going with the new director of Fish and Game, who used to be the head of Trout Unlimited and was their head lawyer.
If you look at his resume, he has been almost exclusively involved in saving the fish.
Yeah, but do you know,
in one form or
John
another.
Sent me an email the other day. Do you know he actually was responsible for the program that planted trout throughout the state in places where they weren't?
Wow.
So actually he has planted fish just like they did with the coho, so they can use fisheries and use that whole system to push back on landowners.
So they were planting fish where fish didn't belong.
Correct. Then we had people up there in the Scott Valley one day after this guy's appointment was announced. The other thing about that, too, all the organizations that he's part of are all the people that are going to get money if they take the dams out. They're all part of that Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement.
You know what, folks? Follow the money.
It's like, so they're all gonna get some fat cash out of that
thing. Well, you know, the thing that really makes me angry is
insider.
That all of the people up north in the Scott Valley, anywhere across this country that are managing the land, these people actually have the true science. And a lot of them are extremely intelligent. They, too, are book learned, if you will. But they're the ones that are actually producing this land. They're the ones that are caretaking and creating a situation where this land is producing.
Yeah.
They actually know how it works.
And a lot of them have all or part of their adult life been, there are guys up there that have been very prominent in the Forest Service and all these different agencies doing real work,
mm-hmm.
who have maybe retired up there, and they're looking and going, what the heck? This is the agency I used to work for?
Yeah.
So anyway,
you'll see a lot of that.
It's gotten bad enough that the sheriff up there has called a countywide town hall meeting for Labor Day. I mean, yeah. Labor Day? Really?
So
it's a big enough deal that he wants the whole county to come to the fairgrounds on Labor Day.
So you were telling me that one of the biggest ranchers up there had a surprise visit from an agency representative this week who was there to check to make sure that he was irrigating his water properly, but prior to checking that, he read him his rights?
They showed up on the porch and read him his rights while he was there with a game warden wearing a bulletproof vest and a gun. And the guy was, people were totally intimidated. And then when they said, well, we're going to come on your land whenever we want, and they said, no, I don't think you are. He said, well, I'm with the Department of Commerce and NOAA and the National Marine Fisheries, and I can do whatever I want. I can cut the locks off your gates if I want to. So it remains to be seen as to whether or not that really can happen. But they intend to do it, and they think that they have the authority to.
And, you know, so. I keep saying all those people out there that listen to this and say, well, you know, it's not really my problem because I'm not a rancher.
Oh, it's so your problem.
You know, little by little, they will come for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
They will find something and some reason to take away your freedoms.
We've been working on private property rights since we started mm-hmm. this program back in October.
Because that's the end all. The
exactly.
private property rights is freedom. And if they can take your property rights, they've taken your freedom.
Yeah, exactly. So we're looking down the barrel of that. And mm-hmm. It's getting really, really tight for a lot of folks. And if you, I would encourage you to go, let me look at the page right now to make sure I'm looking at what I'm looking at. Go to wethepeople.us. And scroll down, and you will see on the bottom right, you'll see Agenda 21 Revealed, Wake Up America. And you'll see a map there of the United States that is red and yellow, and there are some imperceptible blobs of green. That's where we get to live, by the way. Just look at that map. The red is wilderness to wildland, and the yellow is the buffer zones, you know, so we don't interfere with the animal habitat. And then we're supposed to be crammed into the little teal green sections. You'll notice the biggest teal green part. Initially, you're like, whoa, well, that's weird. We all have to live in Michigan? Oh, no, wait. Those are the Great Lakes. Yeah, the actual land mass we get to live on is pretty pretty small. So that explains the need for the stack 'em and pack 'em housing and what's going on with that. We have people in the city of Reading that had had a conservation group show up on their porch and tell them they were cutting down the trees in their backyard because they're non-native to that area. And they're like, oh, they're fruit trees? Oh, yeah, well, you can't have them.
Yeah. How would you like to have somebody show up?
You show up with a chainsaw. We're cutting down your trees.
And this is a couple that lives in a neighborhood. How would you like to have somebody come up, flash a badge, and say, we're cutting down your fruit trees because they don't belong here?
Yeah.
I mean, folks.
They had to call a lawyer. They had to call a lawyer to protect their fruit trees. Inside the city limits of Reading. So,
if you think they can't find something with you, think again.
Please email these programs out to other people, not to scare them, but to wake them up. Because you know what? When the folks come to your house and read you your rights or call you and say they're cutting down your trees, please don't roll over for that. Videotape absolutely everything that happens. Get their name, get everything, and call somebody else. Call the sheriff's office, actually. That's what I would advise.
You have everything to lose by not fighting and nothing to lose by fighting.
Yep, they've mowed us down long enough. Okay, so, wow, we've kind of been on a little rant.
I hope
Brett's
that we've inspired you.
Sorry,
and perked up your day.
We'll get on to happier subjects with Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute. All his info's on the webpage, too. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
I don't need you to worry for me, cause I'm all right. I don't want you to tell me it's time to come home.
Welcome back to We the People Radio. And on those words, we don't need you to tell us we're all right. This country was founded on the great institution of people that can take care of themselves, so stay out of it.
Exactly. Leave me alone. I'm wearing my Don't Tread on Me button. Can you see it?
No.
Well, you can see it. They can't see it. You're supposed to say yes.
Yes, there it is. I see it. I don't mean to, I'm going to fix your collar while I'm over there. Hey, so this
show
is...
We're all disheveled in here.
This show is all about limited government fiscal responsibility and adherence to the Constitution, if we didn't mention that before. And, with all this stuff coming down the pike, it doesn't really matter which way you vote or who you vote for. It's going to affect all of us at some point in time.
Yeah, but for heaven's sakes, I just found out my hair cutter isn't registered to vote. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
This is a deal breaker.
I bought some furniture a few months ago at a very well-known furniture store in town, and he voted for the current administration and was disappointed in the turnout or how it's worked out so far, so he's chosen not to vote again, and so I've chosen not to shop at his store.
Yeah, I'm going to make a lot of choices like that, too.
Yeah, you kind of have to, folks. I mean, we're kind of on the abyss here, and we got to pull together and we got to fight. You can't sit back and just watch the parade go by anymore.
I have to do that this afternoon, but that's a different story.
Okay, so call us, 605-4567.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Please give us a call. Tell us what you think.
Do it again.
605-4567. Go to wethepeopleradio.us. We're chatting and streaming live.
Oh, are we chatting already? People are just burning it up. I can't even read it fast enough. It's scrolling off the page. Hey, so Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute is our victim this morning.
And he's been with us before.
Sorry, Brad. We're kind of on a tear.
Hello.
We're sort of on a tear just a little bit this morning.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what bad Bob put in our coffee, but
tell you what,
it's got us fired up.
We're living in a world gone mad.
Yeah, we've decided we have no time to mince words.
I understand.
So Brad, you're with the Pacific Justice Institute, and for those that have not tuned in before, can you just give us a little bit of background on your organization before we dig into SB 48?
Oh, you bet. I'd be happy to. We at the Pacific Justice Institute are a nonprofit, 501c3, a donor-supported organization, legal organization. We have five offices in California, but we also have a huge network of over 1,000 volunteer affiliate attorneys nationwide. And we handle more case matters on the West Coast, defending the constitutional rights of families and churches and others, than any organization in the country, bar none. Last year alone, we handled roughly 4,000 requests for assistance. And one thing that makes us very unique is that we work hard to make sure that no one is left on the side of the road when it comes to these kinds of issues that we handle. So we don't just cherry-pick the high profile. We really want to make sure that people get the help that they need.
So you're focusing primarily on, you know, the spiritual aspects and parental rights and family rights.
Yeah, and free speech and those kinds of issues, absolutely.
So what, like, recently, has SB 48 just absolutely engulfed you guys?
Yes, it has.
Why don't you give the folks your spin on it, because our spin will be grumpy this morning.
Yeah, you might want to do this part, Brad.
Yeah, you bet. I tell you, SB 48 was passed unanimously by the Democrats in the state legislature. All the Republicans unanimously were against it. And it was signed into law by Governor Jerry Brown. What it does is it mandates, this is going to be a wake-up for, I think, many people listening. They're not going to believe this. But it explicitly mandates that that homosexual role models, alleged homosexual role models in history, be taught in history classes and sociology classes all the way down to the kindergarten level. I mean, it is, and specifically, for example, in fourth grade, where they learn about California history, this mandates that the children be taught about homosexual, alleged people who were allegedly homosexual at that time in California history who allegedly made a difference in some other way or some way in California history. And also transsexuals, too, and cross-dressers. You know, they have to be also highlighted and elevated, and only in a positive way. Nothing negative in any way, shape, or form can be brought about these people, you know, in any way. Parents cannot opt out their children at all. So, needless to say, this is a very controversial piece of legislation.
So we can't highlight their achievements without highlighting the fact that they're homosexual?
That's right. And mind you, it's alleged homosexual. Because, you know, there are many people throughout history, you know, who may have dabbled in this, in a lifestyle, may have been into it, but would not necessarily, you know, come out and say, this is what I've done, or may not even be proud of it. And so it's going to be, it's allegedly, and for example, they try to allege, Los Angeles Unified School District tries to allege, has alleged in the past that Abraham Lincoln was supposedly, in the closet homosexual. And
what?
Of course, we know, but we know for a fact that that's not the case.
But how, what would they base that on, just out of curiosity?
Sure. Well, specifically, back in the you know, that in that time period in the early and mid 1800s, when someone would have someone over to their house to spend the night, a man, then the man would as a statement of respect would share his bed with that man, and the wife would sleep on the floor in the bedroom. That is what was customary, and that's how Abraham Lincoln, at least on one occasion, he had a guest over. He shared his bed with that man, and his wife slept on the floor next to the bed. So homosexual activists look at that and say, aha, he was a homosexual. Let's elevate him as a homosexual. I'm sure if Abraham Lincoln was here today, he and his wife would both be infuriated over that allegation.
Well, yeah, let's find some people who are no longer living, and then let's rewrite history about their life. Wow.
So, Brad, I actually have the book that's been published for this particular mandate for the kindergartners, and it's about the marriage between two men. Now,
if a person were to look at this book, it may seem somewhat innocuous. The thing that concerns me, and I think the thing that people really don't understand, is once a door is opened, especially if they open it just a little bit and you let them through, then it just blows wide open. And I don't know what the curriculum looks like for the other grades, but it's bad enough starting with the kindergartners.
Yeah, oh, it is. And it gets more and more deeper and deeper. But I think what people need to realize is that gender identity is an ongoing affirming process, as well as, along with that, the heterosexual relationship and the difference in the roles between the male and the female. And that's an ongoing developmental process. So anything that comes in that brings confusion or diverts or in any way, it can be very problematic, particularly when you have kids going into junior high, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. They have a lot of insecurities, a lot of curiosities, and a lot of fears that they may be, you know, what, quote unquote, homosexual. That when they haven't already planted in their mind that this is a wonderful thing to embrace and experiment with, sure enough, that orientation can develop from that, and that is a very serious problematic effect.
So they're basically preying on the vulnerable.
Oh, absolutely, and every child to some degree is vulnerable, and that's why parents need to protect their children. You know, the number one causation based on the studies that I've read in terms of homosexuality has been a lack of affirmation from the father. For the girl, lack of affirmation or affinity. For the boy, lack of affirmation of their maleness and their manhood, if so to speak, as they develop. But the second is abuse, sexual abuse, either the boy or the girl. These are all factors in the developmental process of a child, and anything that affirms or takes away from that is very counterproductive to that process.
You know, the thing that that concerns me the most overall about this is if you just strip away the fact that this is about teaching about homosexual role models, the problem I have is that it's insidiously pulling more and more of the rights away from parents to decide what they teach their children, how and when.
Yeah,
School should never be about social issues. School should have been about the basics.
God, you have enough trouble just getting to your locker and getting your books. I mean,
right.
You know, the social...
Well, also along those same lines is, and I think this is even a very compelling argument, and it was raised by the Los Angeles Times editorial review board. Now, when you have the LA Times editorial review board, you know, criticizing something from the left, you know it's got to be pretty extreme. Well, the LA Times came out in a scathing review against SB 48 because they made the observation that they're taking away the objectivity and credibility of history education by pulling out something that is relevant in history, which is what they have to do in order to put something in. They have to take something out. And what they put in is something that is not as the result of an objective analysis of history, but the result of a political indoctrination from Sacramento. And they said that's a... And they chided that because it was a degrading of the quality and credibility of history education and sociology education. So when the LA Times comes out against SB 48, you know it's got to be a very extreme piece of legislation.
Exactly, and we've got, I know, referendums brewing. We're going to be back talking about this some more with Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute. You've got 2 minutes to grab some coffee and come back to We the People Radio. We're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of years without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see these.
call for help, folks. Time to get off the couch, stop ignoring this, and get involved.
We should have listened to the music at the beginning. We're happier now.
Yeah. Welcome back to We the People Radio. We are talking to Brad Dacus. He is with the Pacific Justice Institute, and he is full bore ahead fighting SB 48, the no-holds-barred mandate that homosexual history be taught in the schools starting in kindergarten.
And a little programming note here. Brad is not only with Pacific Justice Institute, he invented it in 1997.
Nice.
So defending religious liberties and parental rights. All that info is on the page there at wethepeopleradio.us. And I would encourage you to plug into that organization, follow them, and definitely contribute. They're going our same direction. All right, Brad, let's talk about the anti-bullying part of this law.
Yeah, isn't that
what the heck?
Isn't that how they're hiding behind this, or their reasoning for bringing it to the forefront?
Oh yes, they claim that that this is to, you know, to get rid of bullying, and really the basic strategy and philosophy that they're espousing is that hey, if they highlight people in history that were allegedly, and I stress allegedly, homosexual, like this general so-and-so and maybe in the American Revolution, or this person over here or that person, then children will see that homosexuals and transsexuals and cross-dressers is a normal thing, and it's something to be respected, and so, you know, they'll be less likely to bully up and name-call kids who are that way, because they will have learned that there are these wonderfully respected people who themselves were that. So they think that this is how they're going to defeat bullying.
Okay.
I think that that's a smokescreen, really, for the real agenda,
yeah,
which is to change the whole attitude of society, to mm-hmm. embrace it and to
promote it.
Not just in terms of socially, but also in terms of practice.
And, you know, okay, so let's say that you can eliminate bullying. So what are you going to do about the kid that tries to steal your lunch money or your lunch? What are you going to do about the big kid that picks on the little kid?
Makes fun of what shoes you
know,
wear.
Really? Are you going to eliminate bullying? Seriously?
Well, you're right. And in fact, children are bullied and teased more about being overweight or being skinny than about allegedly being homosexual. In fact, in one school district, the Alameda Unified School District, with the Pacific Justice Institute, were brought in after a school district was about to adopt something for all their elementary school kids under the guise of preventing bullying, but it was promoting homosexuality and transsexuality. And they said, well, we have to do this to eliminate bullying about this issue. We did our homework and our attorneys, and we discovered that there was not one single complaint on file from any parent at any time with regards to alleged sexual orientation bullying. And we brought that before them, and they had mud on their face, and they decided not to adopt the curriculum after all. But that's the tactic that they use, and if they're really concerned about bullying, then doggone it, then they need to really focus on the real problem areas, which are areas dealing with weight and things like that. This is just a red herring and trying to be a mask for their real intentions.
Well, right on the page there, right above your picture and the information about Pacific Justice, is a download the petition to stop SB 48. And do you have any idea where that referendum is right at the moment?
Right now I know we have there's been a huge distribution of it. We at Pacific Justice Institute, we actually drafted the referendum ourselves to have it put on the ballot.
Hmm.
We have to get the signatures, over 500,000 signatures. The good news is that there has been a very effective distribution of the petitions, and we don't know how many have come in at this point. September 30th is the cutoff date that we've really need to reach. We've got actually till a little bit longer after that, but September 30th is where we really want everyone to send in their petitions. But we know that if groups, churches, synagogues, and, you know, step up to the plate to protect these kids, then we'll get the signatures. It's that simple. This is not an attempt to attack any group. This is not a hate thing. This is simply an attempt to protect parents' rights, respect the families, and to protect children, and to out of love and compassion for children, not to allow something to come in that we know and that every reasonable parent out there knows in the end is going to be harmful and possibly a serious challenge in the development of children.
You know, I was reading something on a news report within the last week that in one of the Scandinavian countries, they have now introduced what they're calling a sex box. And it's literally a box that when you open it up, it has images of male and female genitalia. And this has been approved in the schools, believe it or not. Despite the parents' objections, they're going forward with it anyway. They've just chosen to call it something other than a sex box, hopefully to pacify everyone's objections. Now, they quoted the superintendent of the school system in the Scandinavian country, and he said, and I quote loosely, this now gives us unrestricted access to the children.
Yikes.
You know, and I think that's, you know, it sounds sinister, folks, but the truth of the matter is that the school system is quickly becoming designed to have access to your children and to influence them in a way that they will turn out the way this particular movement wants them to be in the world.
Well, okay, let's talk about my two favorite aspects of this. Okay, on the one hand, when we were kids, no one in our textbooks, I mean, the only reason we knew they were men or women was either there was a picture there or you could tell by their name. But they didn't talk about, I mean, like Abraham Lincoln, he had a wife. Well, they didn't talk about what they did at home.
You know? No, I mean, why does that matter?
It had nothing to do with it. You know, Dick and Jane's parents, I don't think they were in the book. They weren't there. Charlie Brown, you know, his teachers, parents, all the adults in that, you know, just womp, womp. They don't even have lines.
Do Charlie Brown's mother.
Yeah, you know, womp, 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 womp.
Yeah.
And they didn't have lines, much less have sex. And, okay, so you got that whole thing. So why they need to know now, I can't figure out. And that, let's, I mean, what about the cost of this thing?
Yeah.
So if you just, if none of the arguments we've made so far, just if none of that reaches you, holy cow, our school system needs to buy all new books, really?
Now, ironically enough, I believe that at least the book for the kindergartners was published before this law was signed in, or before this bill was signed into law. Is that correct, Brad? Do you know?
Yes, yes, that's my understanding. So
that's a coincidence.
Yeah, so it's it is. By 2014 is when these new books, history books, sociology books, all throughout California are going to have to be replaced with new texts, new material in it, promoting these homosexual role models, transsexual cross-dressing role models. It's needless to say, it's very disturbing. It, you know, it's not like we as Californians have that kind of money just to throw around to have to redo all our textbooks to appease this political faction.
And to appease a very small minority.
Right, and in a way that depreciates the quality and objectivity of history and sociology education. So, you know, we're going to be, just from an academic perspective, we're going to be further handicapping the quality of education in California, which is already, as everyone knows, near the very bottom of the scale in terms of all 50 states. So it's either 48th or 49th, I believe, in the country. So
we're just completely focusing on the wrong stuff again.
Right. You're right. Absolutely. So, but the good news is that when we filed the petition, the referendum, we stopped its enforcement for 90 days, and we have till September 30th. We've got one more month here to get the signatures to put on the ballot. If we're successful, along with the other organizations that are working to do this, to get the signatures, then it will be halted until the voters vote up or down on it in next June. And so I think it's very, very important that people get the signatures, that they get they can. It's so easy to download the petitions and have the petition sent to them, and then they can set up a table at their church or synagogue, for example, and have them all sign off on it, and you know, or set up a table in a shopping mall or somewhere else, and and get these signatures. It's only doable if we all work together to make it happen.
Absolutely. And up here, you know, they're gathering loads of signatures at the fairs.
Yeah.
Up in Wairika, they took in, I forget how many they told me, but pages of this. Up at the Intermountain Fair up in MacArthur, I mean, not exactly a buzzing metropolis, but up at their fair, they asked me today to bring them more sheets. Sally took them 100 pages. Gave them 100 pages to start with, and they said, you know, we need more because people are taking them. They want the pages to take to their church. They want to send them around their neighborhood. So,
and, you know, one nice thing is people are buying that book, the one for the kindergartners, to show people when they're having them sign the petition.
My uncle's wedding.
Unfortunately, that increases the sales for the author, which I'm not crazy about, but oh well, it is a free market, sort of.
Well, right. Nothing screams, you don't want this in the school,
than like seeing the book.
Like the book in your hand.
You know, is there a rise in charter school attendance and homeschooling?
Yes, there is. And in fact, in particular, since about 3 years ago, when we at the Pacific Justice Institute got involved and defended the rights of homeschoolers in California with a major victory in the appellate court in California defending their rights to do so, there has been a significant increase in homeschoolers and their confidence to homeschool. But this kind of an attempt will, without question, further increase the rate of people shifting from public schools to homeschools and charter schools. Charter schools, by the way, are required by the legislation to give consideration to this curriculum, but it's a broad kind of language. So we will have some charter schools probably feeling obliged to adopt some of this material. Other charter schools saying, well, you know, technically we don't have to, so technically we're not. We're just not going to do it. So people have to be very careful with regard to their charter schools. But we think charter schools overall are going to increase as well.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is, you know, it's funny. Just when you think that we've had the most outrageous thing in California yet, there's one more. I mean, we're constantly being featured on things we don't want to be featured on. You know, fitted bed sheets for, you know, mandated fitted bed sheets for the hotels.
And starting in January, if you want to work in a restaurant, I believe as a hostess, a wait person, anything, you have to take a test.
A test?
That you pay for.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a test?
I don't know.
Wow, I was a waitress. I didn't have to take a test. Nope. I just had to make sure the food got from the kitchen to the people. That was kind of a test back then. I tell you what, so many issues. So we're going to be back with Brad Dacus here in just a couple of minutes. Take a quick break and thank our advertisers. If you're interested in being a sponsor of the program or advertising on KCNR just to support the program or know somebody who is, you should email Elizabeth, Elizabeth, Elizabeth at wethepeopleradio.us. And if you have program ideas, I would love them. And you can email Erin, Erin at wethepeopleradio.us, so that we are truly representing We the People, because we can't think up everything, for heaven's sakes. So there you go. There's your programming and sponsorship info. We'll be back with you here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
What the games people play now, every night and every day now, never meaning what they say now, never saying what they mean. While they while away the hours in their ivory towers, till they're covered up with flowers in the back of a black limousine.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies, tell me lies. Oh no, no, you can't disguise.
Don't believe what they say, folks. No matter what they say, don't believe it. Don't listen. Do your homework. Follow the money. Jump in and fight the fight. This is your future, your kids' future, and your grandkids' future.
Yeah, we were talking about during the break. I said, gosh, wouldn't it be great if, you know, at some point in the future, my granddaughter's, she'll be one in October. So I thought, gosh, wouldn't it be great by the time she was in high school, we could replay these shows for her, and she'd be like, you guys were doing what?
Yeah.
Because it's all fixed by then. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a dream.
It's my imaginary land there. Welcome to it.
Welcome back to Brad Dacus.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, before we get into it, can you shoot out all your content or your contact information? And even though we do have the petitions on our website at wethepeople.radio or wethepeopleradio.us, where can they find them on your website?
You bet. They can find them at pacificjustice.org, pacificjustice.org, or they can also find it at pji.org. That's the other name for our website, pji.org, pji.org. And there they can not only download petitions and get that information, but they can also sign up to get our press releases, our case updates, without charge. We'd love to keep people up to date. You know, I'm a native of I was born in Reading, and so
yay.
I know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was
See?
Born in Reading.
Great people and, come from Reading. Did you go to high school here?
No, okay. No. My family ended up moving down to other parts of California, but I do remember, I was a little guy, but I do remember some of the times it would snow and we'd slide down our driveway. And,
yeah.
So I have some happy memories and of Reading. But I know the people of Reading are, they think like I do. They're just very down-to-earth, you know, straight shooters. They see things very clearly. And they understand, they appreciate our freedoms and our rights and our liberties. And so I consequently, I know that they'd want to be kept up to date of what's happening in the rest of the state and what's happening in Sacramento and with our courts and our legislature. So if they go to our website, pacificjustice.org or pgi.org, they can sign up to get our press releases, case updates. And also if they end up wanting to support our work as a nonprofit organization, their donations are totally tax-deductible. They can do that as well at that website.
Excellent.
Nice. And now, just a question on that. Up in the top right corner, it says stay current, sign up for email updates, and it's in bright red print. So right underneath that is a click here button, so it doesn't get simpler than that. So pji.org, click the box in the top right, which is pretty darn easy. And, you know, I don't want to drag out this SB 48 thing unnecessarily. Is there any other stuff that you think people should know about this? I mean, is there anything we haven't beaten to death?
Well,
everybody's so irritated about it. I mean, it just seems like you could just go on about it, you know?
Yeah. There's, I think that, you know, right now, we can either address it now and be aggressively protect these kids, or 5-10 years from now, we can, you know, look at the results of it, and the results are not going to be pretty. As we see the decisions that many of these children are going to be making because of this indoctrination, and that's what it is.
They're really coming for your kids, folks.
Yeah, they are. They really are. And so this is a, what I want to stress is, this is an, to repeal SB 48 is an act of love and compassion for children, and an act of respect for the civil rights and civil liberties of parents and families over their children.
Hey, Brad.
It's that simple.
Who are you getting pushback on? And not you specifically, but what groups are fighting back against SB 48? Parent groups, teachers, you know, who's on board with you?
Well, that's a good question. First and foremost, I will say, of course, you have the homosexual activists, groups, Gay Lesbian Alliance, those organizations. But also, and even more importantly, in my opinion, are the unions. And the teachers' unions are very much, they're in favor of SB 48. They are totally against our efforts to get it repealed. The teachers' union is behind these kinds of efforts. In fact, they even funded, to show you how extreme they are, they even financially funded a cross-dresser sensitivity program in the Oakland Unified School District, where they went down to the kindergarten and first grade level specifically to tell boys that you could be a boy on the outside but be a girl on the inside.
What?
Quote. And yeah, this I'm quoting exactly. You can be a boy on the outside, be a girl on the inside, and that's okay. Or you can be a girl on the outside and be a boy on the inside, and that's okay. And it's okay for boys to wear fingernail polish. This is straight from their curriculum materials that they used. And we, the only thing we could do was just defend the rights of three parents to pull their kids out. But that's what the teachers' union is backing. That's what they're supporting. And let me just say this also. That's why we strongly encourage people out there, if you're part of a union and you know your union is supporting something that you know is wrong, then you have a right under Title VII of the Federal Civil Rights Statute, you have a right to not have a penny of your dues ever go to that union ever again. Instead, have all of it diverted to a charity that's in agreement with your faith instead of union. All of it, the fair share part, the agency fee part, as well as the political part, all of it, no longer the union, instead diverted to a charity. And I'm making this really loud and clear because we know that there's a lot of public school teachers out there that are very level-headed, particularly, I'm sure, in Reading, that do not agree with this and would love to stand up for their rights and not have to support the CTA anymore.
Nice. I was looking at that on your site. That's part of what you guys do, like where it says get help, you know, request for legal assistance, find an attorney, help for parents, help for schools, help for churches, help for employees, and then my favorite, help for union dues objectors.
That is right, and we help countless numbers, and they're successful, and the unions know to lay off them and not to harass them afterwards, because if they do harass them, then that employee has a major potential to get millions of dollars from that from that union. Unions know that, so they respect workers when they exercise these Title VII rights, and it applies to every union worker in the United States of America. So it's a great opportunity for them to support instead something that they believe in and have it go to a charity that they really believe in instead of a union.
Yeah, and you guys have a lot. I mean, you don't have to log into this website, so if somebody wanted to go, you know, check it out, or you wanted to email this information to a friend or a family member, you just go to pji.org or pacificjustice.org and look under resources, and you'll see the Union Member Rights Resource Center. And you guys have all sorts of stuff that they can actually, you know, they don't have to call you and say, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm in such-and-such a union. I mean, they don't have to give up any information in order to do some homework.
Yeah, they definitely don't. But that said, we do all our work without charge, and we're used to taking people from the start to finish all through the process of having their dues diverted, you know, even helping them with their letter composition as needed, that they need to prepare, you know, stating their objections. So they don't have to go it alone, but they definitely don't need us as well. The material's there.
Well, they can do some. They can at least do some homework without, you know. I mean, sometimes it's almost like, you know, shopping for a car. You know, you go online and just give us your name and your phone number. It's like, oh, really? So I'm not going to.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, oh, that's not a very smart idea. So
yeah, exactly.
This is one where they can do some home. Yeah, we just need your Social Security number just to pre-approve you. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think this is a great tool, and obviously there's a lot of money. And when we're getting into our last couple minutes here before the news break, but when we come back, I would love for you to tell people a little bit more about this union dues thing and exactly how much money that is and where it goes, because in the state of California, that is some horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
That
absolutely
is some serious horsepower.
I don't think
horsepower.
People really know that they don't have to do that.
Yeah, I think people.
Yeah, only 1 in 1,000 union workers are aware of their rights to do this under Title VII.
What?
And,
Only
1 in 1,000 at best are aware of their rights. And so we at Pacific Justice Institute are really working to liberate people from this kind of bondage.
Holy cow. Well, it's kind of like a lot of this crazy legislation we have. You know, there are lots of folks in this state that vote a lot of these people in because they have no idea what they're doing after they elect them. You know, they just don't know. They don't follow along. And I think it's up to all of us to let people know what is happening, what kinds of things are coming down the pipeline, and their options. They don't have to be ostracized in their liberal community. They can quietly be conservatives if they want, but honestly, somebody's got to step up here. Got to get the train back on the tracks because it's urgent. Funny. Alrighty, we'll be back in like 5 minutes. We've got a news break coming up, so we will return with Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute here at We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
good morning. You are joining the second hour of We the People Radio. If you're just tuning in, welcome. Bob the Engineer, Aaron and Elizabeth, your hosts. And today we are here with Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute. That is a nonprofit organization made up of all kinds of really smart attorneys that work pro bono fighting for the family unit.
And we just time traveled because somehow we had a 5-minute break and
Aaron was talking about how she yelled at her mother, and I was going to tell her my story about my mom, and we got so into our discussions with our parents about politics that the break just flew by. I mean, we barely got our little headphones on.
I didn't mean to yell at my mom, but you know, she voted for Obama, then she voted for Brown, and it's like, Mom, do you know what's going on? No, you don't.
And here's the thing, my parents.
Please stop it.
Are more conservative, but they keep trying to make excuses for everybody. It's almost like they can't wrap their head around the fact that this bad stuff is really happening. They're trying to justify it away. And I just beat my head against the wall trying to have a conversation.
Yeah, Brad, do you have a program for that? We need one. Do you have a shot or anything we could take? Have we invented any Kool-Aid for our side?
Not this time. Yeah,
we're probably still drinking Tang, aren't we? Because probably our guys got us to the moon. I guess they're drinking the Kool-Aid. We're drinking Tang. I don't know. We need something.
We're drinking tea.
We're drinking. Yeah, I guess that doesn't seem to be helping. I think we need something stronger.
So, Brad, just to get back on topic as we're all yakking here.
Back on topic, huh?
The signature gathering. There was an article in the paper this morning that said that referendums, petition drives of this magnitude are only successful if you have paid petitioners, I guess you call them, when in fact this is purely a grassroots movement, and you've got tea parties and churches and parent groups all over the state of California volunteering and driving this movement.
Right. I would say as a general rule that is correct. Unless you have paid petition gatherers, where you have to pay people money to do it, then it's usually not successful. But what makes this different, though, is you have churches and synagogues, you have organizations that are already in place where people already come to meet and gather on a weekly basis, and there's plenty of signatures right there alone. All it takes is for clergy and people to step up to the plate and say, do we really love the children? And if we do, then let's put our beliefs and what we say and what we have the kids sing every Sunday into practice, and love the children and protect the children and get these petitions signed. So what makes this unique is that there is a structure in place, and in fact, it's furthermore in place because of the what was done with Prop 8. So it's in place. All it takes is for simply people to step up to the plate and do what they did for Prop 8 or do what they did in the past for other measures.
But then it goes to the courts, and then they feed it back to us from the bench.
Yeah. This is not going to be that. It's likely to go to the courts, though. And the reason is because we're simply repealing a piece of legislation, not a mandate by a court or a judge. And in order for it to be declared unconstitutional somehow, the courts would have to say that this legislation was inherently mandated by the Constitution. And for them to do that, they would be signing their own impeachment warrant. I mean, it would be totally absurd. So bottom line is, if we get it repealed, it is repealed. And we really don't have the same threat as Prop 8 did as far as the courts go.
Now, if this particular petition drive is not successful, God forbid, can we do it again?
It could be done again in the future. But it's not as likely going to be successful because you've already tried it once, and so if we weren't able to do it now, people would likely think that what are the odds of having it done later, absent someone writing a check for $1 million. If you have a check for $1 million and you can just pay people to get the signatures and it's done and it's over with, but that would be the game changer in the future that would have to take place for it to be attempted again. So really, this is it. and this is a real test, I think, to the will and desire and compassion of Californians. Do we love our children? Do we really care about our children? And if we do, we're going to get involved and we're going to get the signatures. And if we end up not getting those signatures, it's a it's a terrible reflection on us as Californians and the absence of love and compassion that we have for our children.
And really focus. I mean, honestly, you know, people have said, well, this is a social issue. Why is the Tea Party involved in this? And it's like, guys, this is fiscal responsibility. I mean, come on. Our schools are broke, and that's always the big thing. You know, cut police and fire, and starve out the school system, and that's why we need to raise taxes. So, if we don't have the money, why are we spending it on this? There's just no one can give you a good answer for that.
Oh, you're right. There's a major fiscal issue here, but also there's a major issue of constitutional protections of rights of parents. You know, one of those three pillars is defending the Constitution and the rights in the Constitution. If our founding fathers were alive today, they would be screaming and yelling that this would be an outrageous violation of the obvious rights of parents over the education of bringing their children, especially when it affords no rights for parents to opt out their children. That, in and of itself, is a major constitutional issue that you could be a conservative Republican or a liberal Democrat or a libertarian, whatever the case. But by golly, when your rights are being stepped on, as a parent's rights are being stepped on, you should see a problem with this legislation.
Well, I'm hoping there are a lot of people. It's very interesting. There, especially up there in the Fall River Burney area, you know, that people are just so passionate about it that they want the pages to take to get to other people. There really are. I mean, 100 pages should more than cover all the humans in that area. But they said they have gotten no pushback at all on that whatsoever. And
right. My grandma and grandpa used to live in Burney.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and I know Pastor Bud and up there. And there's really neat people up there in that area. And I'm not surprised that they're bold and not in taking the matter seriously. And folks, if I'll tell you, if people in the tiny area that in the backwoods, if you will, of Burney and all can get involved in something like this and look at it as seriously as they do, people in the rest of the state should take it as seriously.
You know, and the folks up in the Scott Valley and the Yreka area, they're already fighting for their very lives up there, and they had a county fair recently and gathered 700 signatures. For SB 48,
wow.
Those people know how to fight. I don't know. I got to tell you, I'm kind of wanting to move out of Redding and into these little areas more and more all the time. I'm telling you, those people have the fight in them.
Yeah,
they're just the epitome of what this country was built on.
Somebody just wrote in the chat room. What the heck? Somebody just wrote in the chat room. Can you play me "Touch Me in the Morning" by Barbara Streisand? Oh, Brad, if you're not on the chat room, just don't do it. You won't be able to carry on a decent conversation because you'd be busy laughing in the background inappropriately because you're reading something goofy. I'll tell you what. It's nice having the chat on here, though. People have been really giving each other some pretty good ideas on things they can do, you know, with flyers and getting information out. Talk to me about what other stuff we should be looking at that's going on or things that would be coming up. Stuff from Pacific Justice Institute, where are you helping focus people that maybe something we're missing?
Yeah, as far as this, on this issue or
no,
other issues?
No, in general. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff going on.
Well, let me just say, it sort of changed things a little bit here and address the Obamacare, the health care legislation, if I may.
Another thing that generates a lot of fan mail, yeah?
Oh, yeah. This is a major, serious issue we at the Pacific Justice Institute, not because of the economic burden that's going to place upon our children, and not because of the decrease in the quality of health care or the expense of health care, but those are major issues. But we're a constitutional preservationist organization, and so for us, it's the more serious attack on the protection of Article 1, Section 8, where of the Constitution where it limits the federal powers to regulate commerce only in between states or between an Indian tribe and a state or between a federal government or a foreign government and a state. But basically, it says, government, you can't get involved in regulating what people buy and sell unless we're talking about activity taking place in between states. And if the Obama administration is successful in being able to mandate that every man, woman, and child in America has to buy something, that is health insurance, whether they like it or not, then and they get away with that, then basically they will be able to, the Article 1, Section 8 has no meaning whatsoever, and the federal government will be able to stretch its arms and tentacles into every aspect of our lives as to what we buy, what we sell, where we go, where we don't. And that is why we at Pacific Justice have, because Attorney General at the time, Jerry Brown, refused to take an action, that's why we stepped up to the plate, filed a lawsuit in federal court, and went before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And the same day that the 11th Circuit came out and said it's unconstitutional, the Ninth Circuit, with the same basic litigation, said it was constitutional. So upheld it from being constitutional. So we have a conflict in case law, and which mandates that it will be going before the Supreme Court. We're real pleased about that.
That is great. That is great news. I mean, you know, it's funny. People haven't forgotten about that, but I think it's an interesting thing. I forget who it was. Was it Bill Ayers or which one of those rotten people that if you just have so much stuff dumping on them at the same time, they can't fight any of it? You know, that the whole thing is just about speeding up the flow of the problems. And I think we've been hit with everything. I mean, you know, the unemployment just keeps going, and people are losing their homes and their jobs, and now their kids can't get loans, and mm-hmm. illegal aliens are, you know, now jumping in line in front of them. There's just so much stuff.
Well,
and that's kind of like, oh, God, the health care bill, you know?
and it's kind of weird because if you really think about it, if you are a law-abiding, tax-paying, hard-working, spiritual person, you're the one that has the target on your back. It's amazing to
right.
me. It just blows my mind.
What kind of response are you getting from the I'm sorry, we were supposed to take a break 2 minutes ago.
We make our own rules here.
Poor Brad and poor Bob, you know, Brad's trying to follow along and Bob's trying to reel us in. Good grief. All right, we'll be back in two swift minutes here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
That justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise
special
up our glasses against evil forces.
To our friend Bill, for the amazing job he does with our music. It really makes the show.
And that is the theme song for Siskiyou County. I should have him play that tomorrow at the town hall up there.
Aaron, you just have such... We both have had such a great opportunity, as have you, Brad, to work with just the cream of the crop, the quality, the integrity, the best people in the world. And you know what, folks? If you want to label the Tea Party however you want to label it, you go right ahead, but you are missing out on the friendships of a lifetime.
You have no idea what you are missing out on. These people are absolutely amazing. I feel privileged and thrilled. I got to tell you how good I feel every Monday night to walk into our meeting. And Aaron, you get to meet people in your job all the time. The best.
Exactly. And the good senator will be here shortly, because we have to carpool to the fair up in MacArthur with our petitions and our, I don't know, whatever all gear we have to take. All right, Brad. It's all you.
Beg your pardon?
I said it's all you. No pressure. What is something else people, from where you are, you're in a little different situation. You're dealing with, obviously, the legal end on all this stuff. People out there are always saying the same thing. What can we do? You know? So, sign the petition. That's great. But what can they do, really?
Well,
give them some marching orders.
You bet. First, you have the petition. You know, sign the petition. That's important. Second, let's just take a quick look at voter registration. It's very important to get people to register to vote, and of course, that's a given. And people can set up a table in a shopping mall. They can do that. We at Pacific Justice Institute actually defended a wonderful free speech case matter dealing with shopping malls. So people are protected to be able to do that. But if what's really important, though, is for people to approach their church or their synagogue and say, hey, can we set up a table for voter registration? So long as it doesn't have a donkey or an elephant on it, you know, so long as it's not, you know, partisan, there's nothing illegal and it's protected. And if we could get people of faith to be registered to vote, I think that's very important, because they generally speaking, they share in the basic values of the Tea Party and the concepts of that, and they're going to vote responsibly. So that is an action item that anyone can do out there. They can, and we have a booklet that we produce called Church and Politics. It's just a little booklet. It explicitly explains very clearly to a clergy member who's a little shaky, a little uncertain, as to all the things that they can do to legally and politically as well. And we provide that for a donation of any amount. Someone just calls in, we'll send it to them. I think they can possibly get it on our website as well.
Nice.
Well, yeah, so that's on the action item in terms of voter registration. I think that's important. Another action item, ironically enough, is dealing with public schools and making an impact there, is to become a teacher's aide. Many people would not expect me to be saying that.
Oh, great idea.
No, that's a terrific idea.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, these teachers love to have teacher's aides. They love to have people helping them, and there's not a better place to be in a public school than to be a teacher's aide, because you're there, you see what's happening, and you can even have a preemptive effect right from the get-go. If a teacher is doing something that is really way out, you can say, hey, you know, I really think there's going to be a lot of parents that may not appreciate this. Do you think you can maybe change it or do X, Y, and Z?
Mm-hmm.
And then we at Pacific Justice wrote a book called Reclaim Your School. We're on our fourth printing of it, and it talks all about all the positive, proactive things people can do with regards to changing their public schools in a very positive way that the average mom and pop out there would appreciate.
You know, I the last few years have worked in my niece's classrooms, and it's really interesting because the teachers are so busy just trying to keep up with the kids and get them through the day and teach them what they need them to know, that a lot of times some of this propaganda slips in and they're not even aware of it. I had a teacher once hand me a book and say, could you gather all the kids around and read this book to them? I just grabbed it at the library. I have no idea what it's about. And when I opened up the book, it was a story of a little bird. But this story about a little bird was incorporated into a referendum on clear-cutting and logging. It was amazing that they created a story against logging and clear-cutting and built it around a little bird. And, of course, I caught on to that pretty quick, and she wasn't paying any attention to what I was doing, so I left out big parts of the story when I was reading it.
Great. But see, that's a classic.
That's the
example.
Kind of stuff you can do.
Yeah, well, you can.
Well, and, Brad, maybe you got some ideas. I was at the office yesterday, and there is a thing that came out through the California State Senate that said that you could order these brochures. They were no cost. I love that. No cost. Really? Really? So they're just no one pays for them ever?
I know.
Anyway, I got stopped at no cost and had to have a little rant there for a minute. But when I was done and I looked at the brochure that was no cost, except for the taxpayers pay for it, that you could put the Senate member and their address and office information on the back of this brochure, it went to the schools. And it was for little kids, and it was written, you know how they do, you know, some of these kid things, they're like a pencil drawing, and they make it look like a little kid wrote it. It was one of those. It was all about how great AB 32 is, and how they can stop global warming, and some things that they can do are to look for appliances that have the Energy Star sign on them, and I'm thinking, really? How many elementary school students are buying appliances?
Yeah.
Bill actually pointed that out. But I'm thinking, are you kidding? This is our tax dollars to push propaganda that's going to actually put their parents out of work.
Yeah, and that's you just hit another point, and that is when parents see a teacher wear a political button in the classroom or engaging in politics, that is a violation of state law. They are not allowed to use their classroom time in any capacity for purposes of politics, of a candidate, or legislation.
Nice to know.
And if we hear of that, we'll stomp on them.
Okay, words out, everybody. Write that down.
Yeah, we will do that. And they've done it a lot. The CTA is not a respecter of laws. They're not a respecter of the people. They're authoritarian, they're totalitarian, and they will abuse the law as they wish for issues of power and control. Man, I should tell you, I really feel, but anyway.
so. Yeah, we really dial it back, especially like at the beginning of our programs.
Yeah.
Yeah, just chime right on in, Brad.
So anyway, but you know, I think, and also you want to be supportive of those school board members and people who are doing a good job, who are re sensitive to parents, who are not the puppets of the teachers' union. And when you see a school board that is seemingly controlled by the teachers' union, you know, step up to the plate and challenge them in the next election. We even have, in our book, we have 21 model policies for school boards to adopt to make their school districts more parent-friendly and more respectful of parents and families. So there's all kinds of positive things that can be done, even just on a, you know, getting legislation done in your own local school board level. You know, one classic example is the fact that many school districts in California allow children to leave campus for, quote, confidential medical services, which is i.e. an abortion, without parents even knowing about it. And that is not required by state law. And we have gone head-to-head with the ACLU in 6 different school districts and have had that policy changed to mandate that no child can leave, with the exception of medical emergencies, can leave campus without parental consent, period. And that's what school districts, you know, Reading and the surrounding area, every one of them should have that as a policy. And I think it's just a matter of educating if they don't already.
That's cool. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, another, I don't know if we're about time for a break or not. But,
yeah, we are.
We're a minute
he's
away.
He's flashing us the minute sign, but hey, just run it over. It'll be your fault.
Well, one thing I want to definitely talk about, particularly when we get back, is I think this will be very enlightening, is what business owners can do in a very positive, proactive way to influence their employees, their customers, their community, and what we at Pacific Justice Institute have done to make that possible. I think it'll be very enlightening, and I'm looking forward to letting the audience know about that. I think it's going to be very empowering for many of your audience.
Nice. You see, you're full of information. You actually paid more attention to when we're supposed to be taking a break than we do. Bob's over there like holding up the little paper that says a minute, and I'm like, oh yeah, that was a while ago, wasn't it? Sorry. Alright, we're going to take a quick 2-minute break. We'll be back with the last half hour with Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute here on We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up.
Welcome back to We the People Radio. Okay,
switching sides.
I highly, highly recommend you join the chat room. You do not know what you're missing. It's pretty lively today, and we're laughing so hard over here we have tears rolling down our cheeks. We're here with Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute, and he is telling us all the things that we can do to fight this intrusion and this insidious creeping of these really whacked out ideas that are trying to creep into our families and into our kids' lives.
And hey, before we launch into the next thing and run out of time, wanted to let folks know that Brad will be speaking to the Reading Tea Party on Monday night, November 7th. So that's plenty of advance notice. Call your friends and family.
I'm really excited to hear that, Brad. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, we had a little.
Yeah, I am too. We have a lot of exciting cases to talk about, and I'm saving them for that that time. And there will have some exciting updates as well. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Outstanding. Okay, so now talk to us about business owners again.
Oh, and by the way, real quick, I want to say something else too, and that is, this is real important. I want people to understand that I'm an attorney. I'm the head of the Pacific Justice Institute, and all. But I'm also, myself, I am a member of the Tea Party movement. And when I was in Washington, D.C., after the Republicans took the majority of the House, I was with a group of leaders from across the country, some other attorney leaders across the country, and a representative of the Republicans from Congress was giving a presentation, and he told us that, that they were committed to cutting $180 billion from the budget deficit. And I looked around the room to see if anyone had any objections, and I didn't see anyone raise their hand or anything. Just sort of take that as, oh, that's wonderful. And I thought, well, shoot, we have a deficit of $1.5 trillion. What are you talking about, just lowering it by $180 billion? So I raised my hand, and I said, you know, I'm the president and founder of the Pacific Justice Institute. But with all due respect, I'm also an active member of the Tea Party movement and Tea Party patriots. And I told him, I said, you know, let me just make something very, really clear. The depth of loyalty to the Republican Party by the Tea Party movement is about an inch deep. And if you think by cutting the budget deficit by just $180 billion is going to somehow pacify those of us who are concerned about the survival of America, you will see a different outcome in the next election 2 years from now. And he was stunned. I can say that I will do the point I'm making is that we cannot let politics, we cannot let anything compromise the principles that we stand for in holding our government accountable, no matter who is elected to office. And hopefully the Republicans have got the message.
Well,
so that was my little two cents I had to.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting because we are at, and we've talked about this here just lately, you know, we're at a really interesting sort of a crossroads, I think, with the people in the Tea Party movement and the people who've been in for a long time. We're either going to move forward and stay really broad brush and stick to the limited government fiscal responsibility and adherence to the Constitution, or we're going to get kind of mired down in the details, which is what's happened to the Republican Party.
Right.
People will start, you know, we'll either keep our own identity, you know, have no interest in being a third party type of deal, but kind of remain that independent, nonpartisan, you can be whatever you want as long as you are kind of on the same page with us, no membership, that kind of thing, or it's going to turn into, you know, bureaucratic nonsense and try to get sucked up into the official political fray.
Right.
I'm really, really hoping that we are kind of all of the same mindset, you know, across the country, that we need to keep a space open that isn't Democrat or Republican.
Right.
Because
I think that's real important, and that the Tea Party movement is, in and of itself, those three pillars of principle. And I think if we stay that course, then we will endure whatever political wave takes place and be able to have a positive impact and keep Washington accountable no matter who's in office. I think that's real positive. Now, I'm very optimistic. I think that there is one party right now that's much more sensitive to the Tea Party principles. So, than another, but...
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, I think the Republican Party should be more conservative just by its nature. However, I think a lot of them have... you know, it's easy to you know, demand... All of a sudden, we show up on the scene and we demand perfection. I mean, that obviously is a huge thing we have to get over. We're not going to find perfection. That was never the goal. But there are elected people out there. I wouldn't say necessarily, you know, anyone in particular, but there are elected people out there who I think feel like, okay, we're on the same page. Now let's go back to business as usual.
Well, like, and you know, the problem that I have, and I think that a lot of people may agree with this, is that the left has never pretended to be anything than who they are. They have always been true to their cause. We've always known who they were. They never pretended to be anything different. The Republicans, on the other hand, have walked away from their principles. They're the ones that left the ship. And that's and that's what the disappointment is.
The principles of the Republican Party are congruent with the principles of the Tea Party movement. Those are all three of those. It's just the problem is the Republicans have walked away from those principles. Now they're coming back, and I think that's a great thing. So anyway, I want the audience to know that I'm not just a commentator of the Tea Parties. I am a part of the Tea Party and do so proudly. So
great. Well, and that's what makes you actually helpful, because you can educate folks from the inside that they understand. You know, we don't have very many people on that are faux Tea Party supporters, just because there's just nothing to talk to them about.
Yeah,
they can't give their real opinion because they don't have one, because they're just making it up, and
you know, we can spot those guys a mile
away.
And
we're sort of mean that way, so you know, it'd just be a bad deal.
They never last.
But okay, so go. We've got like 20 minutes left, so. Let's make sure we do the business, the thing for business people that you spoke about before we got interrupted last time.
Yeah, business owners are often feel that they can't manifest or express their own convictions and beliefs and values in their business, because somehow they'll be sued for it. And we did have one gentleman who had a sort of a workout room, a pool, if you will, in the San Francisco Bay Area, and he and his wife were sued because it reflected their faith, or their Christian faith and all. And we represented him without charge. We had the Pacific Justice Institute, and the court in the end said, look, business owners have a right to reflect their values, their convictions, their beliefs in their business. So long as they don't discriminate in their hiring or discriminate against customers in how they do business, because of their beliefs and convictions like that, they're free to be able to exhibit that and robustly if they wish. So we at Pacific Justice Institute, what we did is we prepared a video called Faith in the Workplace, basically how to run a business without hiding your faith and your beliefs. And it talks all about what a business owner can do to impact their employees, their customers, how they can partner even with churches, synagogues, ministries, in a very positive way. For example, you know, there's a Mothers of Preschoolers program that serves, many churches have it, serving mothers with preschool kids. You know, we have worked with one business owner who brought it into his company. They have these monthly meetings. It's a wonderful support for these parents. Then we also have business owners who would love to you know, empower their employees' children to be able to go to a private school reflective of the faith of the business owner, or particular private school, and they're protected to do that. They can give those kind of scholarships. They can underwrite vacation Bible schools. They can. There's a lot of things that business owners can do to reflect and impact culture that they're just not aware of. And at the same time, of course, respecting their employees and the rights of their employees who may have different beliefs and perspectives. But like, for example, they can have a Christmas party if they wish, or a Hanukkah party celebration if they wish. And that we go through all that extensively in the video.
Nice. And now, how long a video is it?
There's two parts to it. The first part is 15 minutes, and the second part is 25 minutes long. And and so it's it goes through the whole rapid fire smorgasbord of all the things that business owners are protected to do. And so we're making that available, and if anyone would like to get a copy of that, they just contact our office, and for a donation of any amount, we'll be happy to send them a copy of that. And they can use that for their group or whatever.
Outstanding. I could see, 15 minutes. We could show that at a meeting. And the other part's what, 25 minutes?
The other part's 25, yeah. And take a look at it, and you can...
Yeah.
And you can to judge which part you might want to use or not, but that can be really very positive and very very proactive to help empower business owners to become a part of the solution to shaping their community and in the direction of their culture, of their community. We also get involved in defending people in the workplace who are being sued because of their convictions. In fact, just recently, very recently, a professor in Fresno at the Fresno City College, he filed suit against the college, seeking to correct his employment record at the college. The college took action against the college professor after a student and her friends made complaints about his class. The ACLU spearheaded a campaign so that the college would censor this professor, Dr. Lopez, for comments they characterize as anti-homosexual or promoting a Christian belief system. And after a one-sided investigation by the college, not considering either the professor's right to academic freedom or as well as his First Amendment privileges, the college decided to place a negative recommendation in Dr. Lopez's work history file.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, we at the Pacific Justice Institute, work through our local affiliate attorney, Charles Magel, we've stepped up to the plate to represent this professor because, we can't have this attitude that you can only have one viewpoint, one perspective in our public universities and colleges. Otherwise, that's not freedom at all. That's tyranny. And that's not tolerance. That's tyranny. So we want to make sure that academic freedom goes both ways, and it doesn't just occur when you have a liberal professor, but it also protects more conservative professors from being silenced in these public institutions.
I think that's awesome. When we come back, I've got a question for you on that same topic, and we will have a closing 13 minutes with Brad to hear all the rest of the wrap-up here before we move on with our day. It's been a fun morning with everybody. We'll be back with We the People Radio here in a couple minutes, after we thank our advertisers, actually. Here we're here on KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Who's to say I can't do everything, well, I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I'll find with everyone.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com. Welcome back. Last 10 minutes of the show. It's been a lot of fun today. Serious issues, but we need to laugh sometimes. And love hearing more about you, Brad. You were on the show a few months ago, and that was awesome, but it's so nice to have you back because we're finding out more and more about you and got a lot in common.
Well, it's all about the resources, and the more we can connect folks to the resources, the better off we'll be. They're planning on the chat room how we're going to use the video that we don't even have yet. So,
yeah, we've got a great group of people that just jump on this stuff.
Oh, great.
And you're a great resource.
We're here, and I want to make it clear also, we have our resources because of the support of a lot of your listeners. They make us possible. We're a nonprofit. We're 501c3, and we're able to do what we do. And we're able to coordinate all these volunteer affiliate attorneys because of the support of the of attorneys, of the people out there listening to this program that make it possible to support our work. So I want to thank them. It's without question, it's a team effort, and we never forget that.
We're trying to take a picture, so we're away from our microphones here. Hey,
well, you want me to fill for you?
Could you just keep talking? No, Sally's texting or messaging Bill
point.
And like take a picture so we can do a flyer. It's like, oh, for heaven's sakes, what more can we do in here?
I do want to take make one little point too, before I forget, and that is, like, when we talk about society, we talk about different, the teachers' union and these different negative influences with regard to our children and the challenges to our children. But without question, the biggest impact and the biggest issue is not what society does to our children; it's what we do to our children as parents. You know, and I encourage their, this is a Sunday morning, and I encourage parents out there, whatever your religious belief may be, but. Don't take it lightly, because if you take it lightly, your children will take it lightly, and they won't reflect it in the decisions that they make in their lives when it comes to relationships and other things down the line. So I just want to throw that out. That the first issue starts with the parents and what they choose to do, what they choose to expose their children to, and raise their children with. As they grow up, and a Sunday morning is a great time to be reminded of that, or a Saturday morning for that matter, depending on your faith.
Well, I'll tell you, anybody who's ever, gone through the teenager thing knows that when they come, when they come back in their, 19, 20, 21, and they always return to the values before probably the age of 12 or 13. I mean, oftentimes kids go through kind of a little phase in there, but you ultimately wind up being whoever you were as a younger kid. I mean, that's really where all that stuff is instilled, and you keep it.
Right. So. Absolutely. So it's important, if parents, they want to avoid some of these problems, they have to be proactive, and that starts with decisions that they make, on Sunday morning and Saturday morning and all through the week, for that matter.
Well, we just had Senator LaMalfa walk in the door. Oh, he's passing the studio. You will not be able to hear him from here. But he handed us one of the petitions. He's still out there. Yoo-hoo! Oh, he's not hearing us. Referendum to overturn statewide Senate map certified by the Citizens Redistricting Commission. So there is a referendum. And holy cow, it's gigantic. It's like, good grief, I think I got one of these at AAA one time. It's a 3-giant page fold-out. It's got all the maps. Good grief. How much do we pay for the cartography on this little gem?
Good morning, Senator.
It's ginormous.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. We have Brad Dacus on the line from Pacific Justice Institute.
Brad, you're a rock star. Great to hear you. I got to hear you on the way up this morning.
Oh, thank you. And I appreciate you tremendously, too, Senator. And I'm very supportive of your efforts to challenge this outrageous redistricting.
These petitions are hot off the press on the redistricting, which there's a lot of funny business with that. But I've been packing around the SB 48 ones here, and that's getting a great response. I heard what you all were talking about on that, like the little town of Bernie and Siskiyou.
Wairika, Scott Valley.
Both of them.
Yeah, they're great.
They're ripping through the petitions on SB 48, and for good reason.
So that really is a very key thing because, as you're saying, our kids are expecting us to protect them, and this type of indoctrination into our curriculum here, it's unbelievable. I mean, we've crossed into a new frontier when we can force that in there and the parents have nothing to say about it. And so we can say something about with that referendum. So thank you for what you're doing on that, all of you.
Yeah, we thought it had gone over the edge when Ernie and Bert were trying to be forced to be married.
And kudos to the producer of that show that said, forget it.
Yeah, but now we find out that Abraham Lincoln, I mean, it's like, what the heck? Is anybody getting out on this thing okay? Is anybody just above reproach, Brad? Have they put anybody? Have they taken anybody off the table who's not available to be, you know, in the LGBT crowd?
I'm continually shocked and amazed, and so when I say something, whenever I say, well, they surely won't do X, Y, and Z, I'm shocked and surprised they do X, Y, and Z. So. We'll see. But you're right. If Abraham Lincoln is fit for attack, then I'm sure that doesn't leave too many people from not being fit for
attack.
I'm
sorry. These people are totally whacked. Besides, he had a huge Adam's apple. You would totally know he was a man. He was skinny. He had long wrists. I mean, you know, it just wouldn't have looked good in women's clothes. It just would have been bad all the way over.
Man, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I didn't hear that part in the car. But,
we live to shock and awe, and it's even better if we're doing it in person.
It's the alleged sexual orientation of our historical figures.
I'll tell them in the car on the way to the fair.
So about those Senate maps and congressional maps in California,
he doesn't know who we really are. But.
The petitions are hot off the press here, and I got a whole bunch of them here. I'm doing on my own time with, you know, again, giving people a chance to weigh in on the way the lines are drawn in California. And on a personal note, you know, I didn't agree with the politics and stuff that got into the process by those commissioners. But on a personal level, I'm mad that they're taking away Shasta and Siskiyou County from me within the, you know, the net of this broadcast here in Trinity County as well. And so if you don't think the maps are done right or properly, or you just don't like how they came out, this referendum here could be a way to freeze these maps from being used in 2012, and instead the voters will weigh in on it for the 2012 election.
Oh, is that? Okay, that's mm-hmm. cool. On a personal note, Siskiyou County, and more than anybody, they need not to be sent into the wind. I mean,
they're literally fighting for their lives up there.
They really are, and we've got some continuity going on. It isn't that somebody else couldn't represent them. It's just that we've got some continuity going on, and the sheriff is very much on board. Things are really getting up to speed, and right in the middle of it, it'll be like, oh, change horses. Never good.
No.
And Trinity County, with all their marijuana problems, is not fired up about being redistricted to the coast. That actually, they can just kiss their marijuana problems off. They're there forever now.
Yeah, well, they should embrace their marijuana at that point, because it's not going to go away. The state does much more enforcing on people that are farmers or ranchers or even Caltrans with a tiny trickle of possible silt. Over this massive problem we have in the mountains around here of people dumping chemicals and all the silt problems that would cause from getting into the streams from having marijuana being grown up on the side of the hills. They won't go in there and enforce that, but they'll enforce the heck out of business people out there just trying to do the best they can.
Again, tax-paying, law-abiding, spiritual citizen, you have a target on your back.
Hey. The caller had a question for Doug. They want to know, can they get the petitions on the Internet?
They're giant. I don't even know what size paper they go on.
It's a fairly complex petition because it has to have all the information, so you'd probably be better to track it down with one of your local Tea Party folks, or I know Republican Party folks will be packing them around as well.
Will we have a hunk of them Monday night? Did you bring up a chunk?
There's a hunk of them right now. I'm going to leave with the studio.
Nice. And you've got, give me some and I'll take them tomorrow.
Nice.
Yes,
to
yes.
The Brad.
So it's time to go fast forward on this.
Hey, Brad, we're sending you some folks, too. I've got people calling about things that are going on in their junior colleges that are being taught to their grandkids and stuff like that. So that's okay to just email you guys and see if it's something you can work on, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Send them our way, and we'll see. If we legally can do something, then we won't hesitate.
Outstanding. All right. He's giving me the wrapper-up signal. So thank you, Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute.
Thank you, Brad.
Senator LaMalfa. Sign the redistricting commission.
FairDistricts2012.com. You can find it on the Internet. It's also got a Facebook page, so check it out.
Nice. See you guys back on We the People Radio next week. I totally forget who we're talking to, but we'll see you then. We're here at KCNR 1460 AM. Bye, everybody. We're at the home
Thanks
of
a lot.
Free
Have
Fire
a great
Media.
Weekend.
You're listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding.